with Maribel Cadmus, conducted April the 9th, 1992. Maribel, we were talking about your children and your grandchildren when we stopped our process so we could change the tape. I want to go back for just a minute now to the farm in Turner, and maybe your introduction then to the legislature came when you were living on the farm.
Correct.
And it was an idea that was to help fill some time, and I presume maybe a few pocketbooks.
Well, in reverse order.
reverse order, okay. All right. Yeah, at that time...
Went to work simply because we needed the money.
And how long did you continue living on the farm and working in the legislature, but George also being a farmer at the time? How long were you there altogether?
Well, we lived on the farm until 65 or 66, and I should have had...
That's close enough.
But George went to work for First National Bank here in Salem in the spring of 1956.
Okay.
There was a position opened up. It was... agricultural field representative. And really, you know, it was just, his background and education was perfect for the job. And so that got him into banking, and he progressed from there.
And it would be an ideal with his educational background and experience as well.
And as a benefit to him was that in his undergraduate work, he had a strong... Maybe it was a double major, but anyway, he was very strong in ag econ and had a lot of courses in that. So it was fortunate for us, and the bank benefited as well. It worked out very well.
Back up for just a minute about George and his back. Was he a native Oregonian, or did he? No. Was his family a transplant here too?
Transplant. He was born in Arkansas. And he has a sister. She was born in Arkansas as well. And they moved out here to Oregon. His father was an engineer with the Bureau of Public Roads. And they lived all over.
Well, I would imagine.
All over, wherever construction was. They were in Grants Pass and, well, actually headquartered out of Portland, I think, more or less. But also all through the state of Washington.
Did he continue working once he went to work for First National? Did he continue with First National until he retired, or did he
No. In 1968, and in fact we were just living up here in the next block, we had sold the farm. When Dan graduated from high school, we sold the farm and moved into town here in Salem, and he was approached by this independent bank in Albany, Citizens Valley Bank, and to come down there as their credit man. And so he was, he took the job and was their senior vice president in charge of credits.
During much of the time I thought that I knew you, you commuted to Albany.
Yes, we moved down to Albany within months after he took
after he took the job.
And in a town the size of Albany with a local bank, it was important that we live there.
And you stayed there until you...
Until I...
You retired and moved, and then you came
back up here.
And you... let me understand that you say at one time you lived just about a block from where you are now.
We liked the neighborhood, so now we moved back. And we moved back here just, maybe not quite a year before I retired. George had retired.
How fortunate you were able to find a place in the neighborhood you like. That's not always easy to do at, this stage. That's right. Before we leave the farm and sheep, I understand George cooks a mean lamb shank.
Oh, he does. He's a wonderful cook.
And does he? I mean, is he the chief architect of this? You're not into lamb shank? And tell me, what is it? How do you cook a lamb? What is lamb shank?
Well, a lamb shank is between the knee and the ankle. It's a tough piece of meat.
Uh-huh.
You have to cook it moist heat.
Uh-huh.
And his specialty is lamb shank and pinto beans.
Uh-huh.
And it's very good, very good. He's an excellent cook.
He does other things too. You've trained him well.
Well, I didn't have to train him.
He just knew.
He just knew. He's very good at stews, particularly lamb stew. As you can see, we're partial to lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And even though some people who raise sheep won't eat it, but we lived on it.
Yeah. You know, isn't it strange? I suppose, again, it's background.
Uh-huh,
but our family never ate hardly any lamb. You know, because I think we were raised where there were, you know, beef.
That's right. Pork in Nebraska.
In Nebraska.
Sure.
And I think they may grow lambs back there or sheep back there now, but I'm not sure.
Probably not that
not,
many.
Not many. Not that
Probably
many.
Not that many.
Although there are lots of them in neighboring Wyoming.
That's
so
true.
I don't
true.
Know why they're, you know, what reason why they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But so we've always been partial to.
Well, the selection in the market isn't that good, really.
Well, that's what I'm told, that you really,
it just is.
You
it
just
is.
Don't.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
I look at what the pork producers have done to promote their product, and
it's also spendy in the market.
It varies. Yes, you're right. You're right.
And we're going to start turning now to your life and times in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you almost answered one of the questions I had up front. It was the lure of some extra money, not a great burning interest in politics that brought you.
Well, that certainly the money was first, but being here close to Salem, mm-hmm. and with legislature convening,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you knew the Aarons, was he in the legislature at
yes,
the time?
Yes, he was in the House.
Yeah.
And also, a good friend of ours who we had met through our college ties was Walter Leth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his first year in the Senate, was 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, through Walter Leth and Eddie Aarons, and Margaret's prodding at them, I was able to get a job.
Yeah. You had not, though, been what I would call a party person.
No.
That's
our mail.
A precinct worker or...
No. I registered to vote as soon as I was 21,
uh-huh.
and we were in Benton County. And I registered Republican because...
Uh-huh. Well, at that time.
At that time, if you were going to vote in the primary, you had to be Republican because there weren't any Democrats.
It is one of the interesting things, I think, about Oregon politics, is that there was a time,
mm-hmm.
and lots of people today, if you mention that, can't quite believe it.
No, it's hard to believe.
When there were practically no Democrats in office, period.
Mm-hmm.
Any place in the state.
Well, when I went to work for the Senate in 1955, there were 5 Democrats, I think, in the Senate.
And now it's just the opposite.
Yeah, and of those 5 Democrats, most of them were very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Boivin was one. Now,
mm-hmm.
without the pictures or names in front of me, I can't
mm-hmm.
think of the rest. Bob Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Brady. 2 others that
mm-hmm.
I can't recall
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were going to vote, and you needed to be registered Republican.
Yeah. I think that you talked about how you got your job,
mm-hmm.
and your first job was as secretary to the chief clerk of the House.
No, of the Senate.
Of the Senate?
Yes, at that time. That position, the title of that position was Chief Clerk of the Senate.
Okay. Well, when did you spent quite a few years with the House?
2 sessions.
Two sessions.
Mm-hmm. Worked for Mr. Elster.
Oh, okay, but it was still called
Chief Clerk of the Senate.
Isn't that strange?
And Harry Boivin, I think it was. And through the National Association of Legislative Clerks and Secretaries, too, most of the states went along with the federal Congress, and the title for the Senate became Secretary of the Senate.
Okay. And you were hired at that time by?
Well, I was hired by the Chief Clerk of the Senate.
And who was that at that time?
That was Zilpha Zell Burns.
Zilpha Zell Burns.
Okay. Did you know her?
You know, Cecil Edwards asked me that question when I was talking with him, and I don't think I did know her, but I understand she was a real tradition, I mean, how can I put it? She was quite famous at the time for her control.
Yes,
she
had absolute control. And now she was a very active Republican, and in the Republican politics in Portland. She was a fine lady, and somehow we got along just fine. I thoroughly enjoyed her and learned a lot from her.
She had been, I presume, in that job for quite some time.
Yes, she had worked on the Senate desk in other capacities before she became chief clerk.
Okay.
But and she was so good to me, very good to me, and the principles that she taught me, that I learned from her at that time, hold as true today as they did then, even with the computers and mechanization that we have now. You still go back to the fundamentals that she taught us in how to keep the records and to manage the office.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it
really it's changed, but not all that much.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
I'm assuming that over the years you observed a lot of changes, though, in the way the legislative staff was hired and expanded.
Particularly expanded. Well, and hired, too. But at that time, when I went to work, the President of the Senate had a secretary. The Chief Clerk, Secretary of the Senate, was, in fact, I was the secretary to the to the Chief Clerk. I was the only person in the office in back, but there still was the Journal Clerk, the Calendar Clerk, and the Assistant, and the Reading Clerk. The pages and sergeant at arms, that's about the same. But the committee staff is what has really expanded. And of course the members' personal staff. Each member had a secretary.
I'm trying to think. It seems to me that we went to work about this. I went to work originally for the Secretary of State in 1950.
Oh, did you?
And
who was Secretary of State then?
Earl Newbery.
Yeah, I remember him very well.
And I must have met you almost the same as soon as you came to work.
I would bet.
Because it seems to me that at one time when I went to work for the Secretary of State, we were on the second floor, and we had what is now the Governor's Press Secretary's office. And then through some moves, we wound up in some offices in back of the Senate. And I think I must have met you and Evelyn. And Beth Wilson.
And Alma Schroeder.
Okay, all along, you were all working along about the same time. Am I correct in that memory?
Well, just about, I think. Following the 1955 session, I went to work for the Highway Interim Committee, and that was late in the fall of that year. And my office was right in back of the Senate chamber.
And see, that's
uh-huh.
Okay. And wasn't that?
But when Beth and Evelyn were there, was an inner so beyond that, and we were up on the third floor.
Well, this was okay.
Because there are
our offices were on the third floor.
Yes.
So that's when I apparently.
Yeah, that could have
been. It seems to me, and you probably have a better memory of this, at some point, and I'll have to, yeah, that's where it would be, mm-hmm. when Paul Patterson died.
Mm-hmm. Elmo Smith went in as governor.
Elmo Smith went in.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after, I think it was the next time, it was Bob Holmes
mm-hmm.
who moved
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still back at the Senate on the third floor, and we had been moved around so many times, and all of a sudden they decided, we had just been moved into this third floor location again, and they decided to hold a special session.
Yeah.
And we'd been there 6 weeks, and they packed us up and moved us all over again. And at that point I was almost ready. In fact, I did leave, and I went to the Statesman for a while at that
oh,
point.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought, you know, In 6 months, I think we'd moved those little offices mm-hmm. about 3 or 4 times because we were small and easy to move,
sure.
I think, you know, more than anything.
Well, when Bob Holmes was governor, I was working for Mr. Elstrom.
Okay. Your first job as a secretary to the clerk, what were the responsibilities of that job then?
Well, one job that it seemed was never ending was filing the bills. And Mrs. Burns always had this very special way that she wanted them done. So, you know, I learned that, and it was easy to do. Another thing that...
When you say filing the bills, you mean in the cabinet, not necessarily...
Oh, she had file boxes that she had out on a table. And I was to file these just exactly so that she could come in and thumb through them in a hurry.
Was this a system that she had developed so that she could keep track of where they were in the process?
No, it was just... I don't think that...
Must have been more complicated than just their number.
It wasn't complicated. It was just kind of eccentric. But what she liked, and it had a good purpose, was she could go there and find the original bill and all of the printed amendments
okay.
right behind it. So she knew just exactly what some senator was talking about. When he would ask her a question, she knew which amendment he was talking about and what the original bill was and what the amendment did to it. So that was a small thing, but very high on her list.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing she had me do was to check the calendar, the mm-hmm. printed calendar each day, and to make sure that, actually, to proof it, even though the calendar clerk proofed it, she needed mm-hmm. a second proof.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a bill had... gone through both houses and been signed by the governor, I would get the calendar copy and paste it on a sheet of paper, and that would start the work for revision
mm-hmm.
following the session
mm-hmm.
and for the proofing of the final calendar in the journal. So she had this system all worked out. Then there were a lot of phone calls to answer,
mm-hmm.
and she had a lot of typing that needed to be done,
mm-hmm.
letters to answer. People were writing to her, asking her for copies
mm-hmm.
of bills, because
mm-hmm.
she was very well known in Portland, and people at the courthouse. She worked in the probate court during
in Multnomah County?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
during the interim, and so she would, you know, had a lot of contacts that
mm-hmm.
way, and with different lawyers in Portland, too. So we would do that, and...
I don't know why, I just thought John Burns,
mm-hmm.
any relation at all?
No.
That Burns?
None
totally
at all.
Different.
Totally different.
Totally different, okay.
John Burns is a Condon friend.
Is that right?
Once you're from Condon, if anybody else is from there, you're immediately identified.
I was going to say, it's such a small town.
I know it. It was fun when Donna first came to work for me.
Well, Maribel,
all these Condon people came in.
It sounds to me like, although the techniques have changed thanks to computers, that the things that have to be done in connection with the legislative process
are basically the same.
Basically the same.
The volume is much greater.
Yes.
You know, and I looked back in some of the old journals. I can remember when there were 400 bills introduced in the Senate, and that was a big number. Mm-hmm. Well, now, I couldn't begin to tell you how many they are because of the numbering, for one thing. The Ways and Means bills all have different numbers, but you know it's well over 2,000, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the things
that's just that in
people
the Senate
don't really understand is the growth. Same number of senators, same number of representatives, but the bills that have...
are just humongous.
And I can understand, I think, why the public sometimes just can't understand why the process takes as long as it does.
Yeah. Cecil often mentions how, well, they hold a hearing every time they hang a cat. Well, they certainly had hearings and committee meetings, but I think that it was only on the bills that they knew that were going to get through, that there was enough interest in to pass.
I remember sitting in one hearing of a bill about planetary citizenship.
What in the world is that?
It's on the House side. And, you know, there wasn't one chance in a million that any such bill was going to pass any place.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually scheduled a hearing on that bill, and the people came down from Portland and testified, and each one of them wanted to have their say. And I recall, it seems to me there were about an hour's worth of testimony on that, and a lot of back rubbing.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one chance in 10,000, and I thought to myself, now there's a beautiful example of a bill that should never have, someone should have put it on the back burner.
Look at the expense.
Yeah, the expense, I don't know, I remember one time someone said, just to get a bill introduced was several hundred dollars. I'm sure that cost, I don't know what, do you know what?
No, I don't. And the news reporters would ask us that at the beginning of every session. Mm-hmm. And we would try to find out. But it's just a really difficult thing to determine because, first of all, how long is the bill?
Mm-hmm.
And how much legal research did it take?
Mm-hmm.
Just the printing. And the typing or entering the data, whichever way it was handled, would be a fairly easy thing to compute. But there's so much that goes into it that it really is hard.
I just don't think any number that I've ever seen really covered it all. And,
I don't think so, particularly if
it came from through a committee process.
That's
an
one.
Interim committee that had studied it, if you consider the hours that went
into
that. So. Well, okay, so the process hasn't changed a great deal, except that maybe the tools that you use have changed. Instead of typewriters, you have computers.
And I think it's been refined in a lot of ways, but the same basics are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the journal and the calendar, and I assume that the original journal is still being done.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I was there. But there was talk of doing away with it and just having it printed. But I don't know whether that's...
Has there ever really been a lot, very much discussion of serious reorganization of... I know, the electronic voting and what have you. Has there ever been any really serious look at changing the process over the years that you recall?
Oh, there have been.
Has the management analyst left you alone?
Well, once the computers came in, no. Because the computer people always had a way that would be better, mm. or that they wanted to explore, that would help us and to make life easier for us.
Did it?
I don't think so.
Or did it just add more paper?
It added a lot of paper, and certainly it made things easier. I'm sure of that. I would want to really analyze that and think about it more, but
yeah.
It must have helped. But it did seem like the change was constant when after the computer came mm-hmm. in. And the one thing, we would just get one system learned and they'd come in with something new. And I think that, and that was fine when we had, because we had year-round employees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you were going to have just session-only employees like we had when I first went to work, it would have been terrible.
Okay.
Because you'd have had to have a month or two of training before you could have been brought up to speed.
Did you experience any real fear and trepidation about going into the work after you'd been primarily at home with
a housewife?
A housewife for a number of years?
Well, there was an adjustment, and Molly was just 3 years old.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if George hadn't been at home taking care of the children, I think that would have been a constant mm-hmm. worry, because a working mother can't do well at work mm-hmm. if you're worried about your children,
mm-hmm.
as is evidenced today with daycare.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
But I was certainly rusty, mm-hmm. and Mrs. Burns was patient with me.
That's great.
And fortunately, I was able to pick it up and continue from there.
Well, not just fortunately, you had the ability to do it too.
Well,
we've talked.
It all worked out well.
Yeah, we've talked about the job, that first job, and then the next interim, the highway interim committee.
Mm-hmm,
That was sort of your introduction to a number of people and issues and problems. And I think what we're going to do is stop at this point, even mm-hmm. though we didn't quite cover that area, and we'll begin our next session with the 1955-56 Highway Interim Committee, and we'll want to get into some more discussion of those people that you worked for and with at that time.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun.